We got 250, right? Hey, we have a lot to be thankful for. I don't know how you celebrated the 4th. I don't know if you had some fireworks or cookout with family, friends. We ended up not doing fireworks this year, but it felt like in the neighborhood, we felt like we got to watch fireworks because there was enough of that going on around us. That was pretty fun. In fact, last night we were trying to get the kids to bed and we just ran out in the middle of the road and we were just like all over the place. It was great. I don't know how that's great legal, but one time a year we can all just forget laws, it feels like. But we are so stinking blessed. We live in such an amazing nation. And I just want to remind you of that, and which I think most of us already know. And what makes us a unique and a great nation is not the fact that we are a perfect nation. In fact, we have a bunch of imperfect people. All of us are included in that number, right? But what makes America unique is this. From the very beginning of America, in fact, from the Declaration of Independence, it mentions God 4 times. And then what makes, though, America great is from the very beginning, the earliest days, our nation understood our rights do not ultimately come from a king, a president, the government, but they come from God. And that's really important for us to acknowledge and recognize and realize, and we realize through Scripture. We look at God's Word, and we realize in Romans 13 that it reminds us there that God establishes the government around us. Daniel writes that God can remove kings, sets up kings, that he can allow a nation to rise, he can allow a nation to fall, and kingdoms will come and kingdoms will go. So what we have, the freedoms that we have, we should be grateful for, but all of those things could be gone in any moment. See, we should be grateful and understand that we have the freedom where we get to come this morning, and we get to spend time in God's Word. We get to spend time in worship. We get to spend time this week. We can and we should spend time this week sharing our faith with others around us. That we get that kind of freedom, right? That we live in such a blessed nation that we have some incredible highs and we acknowledge the lows. That there's some moments that as a nation we have been so united. But there's also moments that there is tense between individuals and people from political sides. Well, it should make us understand that we, in our freedom, that we should never take it for granted. If you take it for granted, you should just go visit some other country for a little bit of time. We should be thanking God today, this weekend, for our country. We should be praying for our leaders. That's nationally, that's at the state level, that's locally, that we would pray that God would just use them. Not that every single one of those people know the Lord and we believe they even represent him well, but we should be praying that they would make decisions that would actually honor God, even though they themselves might not know him. We should celebrate the freedoms that we have. And we should celebrate that we get to be an American. That's great. But we should all understand, if you have a relationship with Jesus, what's greater than being an American is understanding that our citizenship is ultimately found in heaven. Which reminds me of where we are in Matthew, right? Matthew 24, we're talking about some end times. Jesus is asked about the end times. And he's asked it from his disciples, what's going to happen? Tell us all the information and all the details. And Jesus reminds them that the world is not just drifting randomly. God is in complete control. History is moving somewhere. Jesus is telling them he's going to return, a second coming. The question really lands in chapter 24 is whether you are ready or not. And then chapter 25, it begins with a parable. two parables. And the parables are just this. It's a short story with a powerful truth for a life. And so Jesus starts telling this parable, and the first one is with these 10 virgins. Kind of a weird parable. But what he's telling is the ultimate goal is, are you ready? That's the point of it. That's the meat that's punched into this story that he's telling. He tells about the bridesmaids that got ready. They were wise and they got ready. There's five bridesmaids that were lazy and not wise, that they were dumb and they didn't get ready. They thought they had way more time until the groom would show up. But in their sleep, the groom showed up. But because only five were ready, only five were entered into the wedding feast in the story. Five didn't make it in. And the point that Jesus was trying to make to the disciples and really making to us is, hey, you need to stay ready because Jesus could return at any point in time. That should sound familiar, right? Then he goes on. He talks about a parable of talents, which is what we're going to spend the morning talking about. And the parable of talents simply comes down to this. What are you doing with what God has entrusted you with? Which this week I started, I'm thinking about the 4th of July a little bit. Thinking about trying to have fun with that. But then there's this other thing that's going on right now. I don't know if anybody knows about this. The World Cup. Anybody a World Cup fans in the room? Same result on first, like no one. I know I'm weird, and I played a little soccer. I actually haven't even watched any of the games, so I've kept up on some of it. But there's some things that maybe I'll get some of you into this for a second. Tomorrow night, we got Monday Night Football back. You guys know that? It's not football, it's football. We got Monday Night Football back. Soccer tomorrow night, United States. You guys ready for that? Well, maybe this will get you ready. There's a guy on the United States national team. His name's Mark McKenzie. Again, I haven't watched any games, but I caught this this week when I was studying a little bit. I got a little bit sidetracked. And Mark, I come up on a video of his testimony, his story, how he came to faith in Jesus, and really they recorded that because he's on the men's national team, and it was just recorded a few weeks ago. It's you can look it up on YouTube. It's like about 6 minutes long. Great story. It's a company, I Am Second, records this video of him, and he shares how his dad was a first-generation immigrant that comes in the States. And through all that, eventually Mark hears the gospel and surrenders his life to Jesus early on in his life. Then he goes on, and he's obviously athletic. He plays soccer. He plays a little bit in college. Eventually goes pro. Now he's playing professional in Europe. But then he, at the end of it, he describes he describes making the national team. He's like, man, I'm excited about representing our nation, our country on this level, but I'm also excited representing myself. Like, there's a part of that in there. But more important than the nation and more important than myself is I get to represent the kingdom. And I thought, man, that was really cool. And so if you've seen anything, maybe you saw it on Facebook, this is where I saw it. There's this moment after the games, the men's national team is getting together and they're praying. You guys see this? And Mark McKenzie is leading the men's national team after the games in prayer, which the New York Times picked up an article on. And they wrote about Mark McKenzie, who at that point in time hadn't even played in a single minute of any of their games in the World Cup, except now he has played in one and they lost that game. So, but the headline was, Mark McKenzie hasn't played a single minute, but he's a part of the men's national team's most powerful moments. I'm like, wow, this is the New York Times writing that. And then they do this long article. And I'm thinking, I'm going to read through this, see what he says and try to figure out maybe what they took out. And as I'm reading through it, Mark says, yeah, a lot of the guys on the team, they come from all different backgrounds, different ways of life. And he's says, there's a few of us that are believers, and we started this realizing other sports are doing it. After a game, they get together in midfield, and they pray together. We should be doing that. And now all their team, coaches, training, they're all praying. But not all of them are following God. It's just a cool moment that Mark is using his gifts, abilities, talents that God has given him, and he understands the greatest thing that he has, the greatest job he has, is to represent Jesus well. Use the time that he has, that he has been entrusted with, to share the hope that he has. And he's just trying to point people to Jesus. That is incredible, which is really what the parable of talents is all about. So it goes like this, this parable, Matthew 25, verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, which all that should sound pretty familiar to us, right? There's a guy going to go on a journey, and someday he's going to return. And he called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent, depending on each one's ability. Then he went on a journey. Catch a few things. One, the man that's leaving for this journey, we obviously understand that's Jesus. He's going to return at some point in time, but what he's done in his absence is he's called in. What he's given is he's entrusting every person with talents, abilities, gifts. The talent in this parable is money, financial. But I think it's bigger than that in our life. Everything, get this, everything that he is entrusting to these 3 servants aren't the servants. None of the possessions belong to them. Who do they belong to? They belong to the master. Everything you and I have, do you understand? It all belongs to God. Right? Your abilities. Some of you, you're stinking talented people. Some of you can sing. I can't. You would be really wise to ask me never to sing. Wouldn't it bless you? Your family is a gift from God. Your career. I get it. You got some incredible abilities and you have a credible work ethic. But all that comes from, not you, from God. Your opportunities, your finances, your pocketbook, your spiritual gifts, your influence, all is blessings, gifts from God, in which we are not owners over those things. We're just managers. We're called to manage all those blessings and use those blessings to glorify him. So why you think of scripture, you think about this verse, whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Are every ounce of your life, are you bringing him honor and glory through what you do and what you say and the way you live? Because we understand we're not owners, even over our own life. We're managers. Verse 16 goes on. Immediately, the man who had received 5 talents went, put them to work, and earned 5 more. And in the same way, the man who with 2, earned 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. It's kind of an interesting approach, right? So you have two guys who get busy. Actually, all three get busy. Just two guys get busy trying to be responsible with what has been handed over to them. One gets busy doing the wrong thing. In fact, he makes time for it. Digs a hole, hides his master's money. Two of them are busy with no hesitation, no excuses, no delay. They're just trying to be faithful with what's been given to them. They're trying to be obedient. And one doesn't really care about being obedient. One is going, you know what? It seems better for me to take time and use this time to be able to hide what the master has given. By the way, I believe that describes most people who call themselves Christians. That's why I think when you hear the verse, Jesus is saying, many, many will say to me on that day when he returns, Lord, Lord, I did all this stuff in your name. But he says, I never knew you. Because what God is asking for those who love and follow him, he's asking you not to play it safe. He's asking you to take some risk and live boldly. Because he's not asking you to be comfortable. He's asking you to step out of the comfort zone and just be faithful. Because there's a day the master is going to return. Verse 19, after a long time, the master of those servants came to settle accounts with them. Came to check in on what they've been doing while he's been gone. Which we all know this. There's going to be a day every single one of us will stand before Jesus. And we will actually all give an account, but there will be two different versions of that account. One, there will be a people who have rejected Jesus, and they will stand before him at the great white throne judgment, and they will be judged based on their life, really their sin, and they will be found guilty for their lack of faith, lack of trusting in him, lack of obedience. And they will be forever separated from God. And it will be right and it will be just, because God is not just all loving, he is also a judge, and he will find those who have never come to that point of trusting him, that he will find them guilty. But then for all of us who have come to a point of understanding our sin has separated us from a perfect, righteous, holy God, but God came into the world to deal with our sin. This is why Jesus went to the cross, so that we could have a relationship with him, that we could be forgiven of all of our sin, past, present, future, that we could be made new. We could be declared right with God. And for those of us that describes us, we will stand before Jesus not to give an account of our sin because we're forgiven, but we will give an account of our faithfulness. Have you been faithful? What have you done with what God has entrusted you with? Have you been faithful in your life with what God has blessed you with? Has entrusted you with. That moment is called the Bema Seat. So you have the Bema Seat and the Great White Throne, where every single person will stand before Jesus one day. And they will give an account for their life. Look at what happens. Jesus describes Verse 20, the man who had received the five talents approached, presented five more talents, and said, Master, you gave me five talents. See, I've earned five more talents. And his master said to him, listen to the words, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. That's a good verse. Well done. This is what all of us should hope to hear when we stand before Jesus. Well done, good, faithful. You've been faithful over a few. I gave you just a few things, and you took those things. You were faithful in them. Share in your master's joy. Some of you, you know what? You don't see the work or the fruit always of your faithfulness in our world. Like, for example, this is an easy example. Like, if you go serve in our kids' ministry, which there's stepping stones to serving anywhere here at Grace. For one, you have to become a member of our church. And part of that is just that we want to have a conversation spiritually with you of where are you with God? Have you come to a point of trusting in Him? That's it. And so that's kind of what it means to become a member. The first and only requirement is that you know Jesus as your Savior. But then to serve in our kids' ministry, you got to have a background check, things like that. Let's say you're serving in our kids' ministry, you probably aren't having kids write you thank you letters, right? But it doesn't mean you're not being faithful with what God has entrusted you with. You're using your talents, your gifts to serve and try to edify the church, to build it up, to try to impact the next generation. That's great. But did you catch it? You've been faithful with a few things. Your faithfulness doesn't go unnoticed by the King. He sees it. He notices it. In fact, there's this guy. When I came to faith in Jesus, I don't remember how old I was. I just remember the moment. I remember understanding the gospel, realizing I needed a Savior, and trusting in Jesus. And I remember praying and asking Jesus to come into my life. I remember it was a Saturday night, because Sunday morning was the next morning. I got up and I was pumped up. Man, I followed Jesus last night, and I went into our kids' ministry in the church. And I walked in. I don't even remember this guy's name. I just remember he was an older man. Maybe he wasn't that old, but in my mind, when I was a kid, he was an old man. And I walked in, and I told him, last night I asked Jesus into my life. And I remember his expression on his face. I remember him celebrating it. Here's what I mean. I can't ever go and say thank you to him. I believe, because I remember asking my dad, hey, who is that guy? If you can remember, would that guy have been? And I believe he's passed away by now. But he was faithful in that moment. And I think about the scripture where it says even over one person that surrenders their life to Jesus, that heaven is celebrating. In a way, he was celebrating me like that. Not that me, like I did something special, but celebrating that decision I made to surrender my life. And for me, that created this moment when somebody else gives their life to Jesus. I would love to celebrate like that guy celebrated. It made me so excited about my faith. It's a moment that I remember so well, like it just happened yesterday. He was just so faithful. For some of you, that's you. You might ever never get the thank you. But it's not going unnoticed. The King, the Master, notices. Stay faithful. Stay faithful to Him. But listen, some of you, you have some incredible gifts, talents, abilities that you have been entrusted with, like this first guy. been entrusted with a lot, but look at what happens with the next guy that's been entrusted with two talents. Verse 22, the man with two talents also approached, and he said, Master, you gave me two talents. See, I've earned two more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. It's exactly the same wording. It doesn't matter how many talents have been given. It just matters how faithful you are. God's not celebrating the results. He's celebrating the faithfulness. And our faithfulness should multiply what God has entrusted with us, to us. Because we all understand one day we're given an account. But this is where the story changes a little bit. You got one more guy who hid his talent. And hid what God has entrusted to him. Verse 24, the man who had received one talent also approached and said, Master, catch these words. He says, I know you. I know you. I know you're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering what you haven't scattered seed. Like, Master, I know you. Like, you are harsh, so harsh. You're just not fair. You're collecting on the other people's backs. Like, what you haven't done the work. And so as a result, because I believe you're harsh and I believe you're unfair, so because of that, I'm afraid of you. Verse 25, so I was afraid and I went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But what he's really saying is, hey, Master, I wanted to remain neutral. I didn't want to steal what you gave me because I knew that was wrong. I just simply did nothing with it. And what Jesus is describing is not a man being faithful. He's describing a man that is filled with neglect. It's filled with rejection. Because the biggest problem here is that the master's return caught this guy off guard. So what he does is he comes up with outrageous charges that make actually no sense. He makes these charges based on a false understanding of the master's character. He doesn't actually, even though he says, I know you. Man, we're good, right? I know you. But I believe you're harsh. You could be going, that guy has some, maybe, credibility or something like what he's saying. Because, man, is it fair that the one guy got five, the one guy got two, and this guy gets one? Like, maybe he just was lazy in his performance because of the fact that he didn't get as many more, right? He didn't get the five talents. But the master gave based on what he understood they could actually handle. So it's not an equality problem. It was actually a stewarding problem. He had less to steward, and he still wasn't faithful in it. There's an issue there. And he had this false understanding of the master's character because he actually didn't know the master. He doesn't understand his character. His problem wasn't a talent issue. His problem was a theology issue. That he had this misunderstanding of the master, misunderstanding of God, which I think is a lot of people. I think God is going to be harsh. How does an all-loving God send people to hell? God is filled with love, but he's also just. If you would only understand that God is incredibly patient with you. He loves you so much that he would die and suffer and die for you. That you would see God's love that he has for you. That you would not see God as harsh, that you would see God as filled with love and grace and mercy and kindness and patience for you. But so many use that as an excuse to why they haven't trusted in Jesus to be their Lord, their Savior, and their God. Why they haven't got busy doing the work of the kingdom. Why they are busy working for themselves. Catch what the master says in response to this guy. He says, verse 26, his master replied to him, "You evil, lazy servant, if you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered," not that he's agreeing with this guy, but just making conversation. That's what you think? So if you actually think that, then you should have, verse 27, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers. And I would have received my money back with interest when I return. If that's your opinion, then you at least could have done something and it would have been less effort than you put in to do the wrong thing. You could have, with no great personal exertion, made this happen. You could have gone into the bank. And I would receive my money back with interest when I returned. See, I think that's a lot of people. Let me give you this example. As a follower of Christ, what are we entrusted with? We're entrusted with the most important message there is on the planet, right? It's the gospel. It's the hope that we all have in Jesus, what he's done for us. And that message, we don't sit here and we protect it so much that we don't let anyone else hear it or come to receive it. We don't keep it just to ourselves. That's not the way actually we protect the message of the gospel. We actually share it. We give it away. And that's what we're actually all called to do as the church. We're going to get to this in a minute in Matthew 28 in just a couple of weeks. Not that many weeks. That we are all called to go into the world sharing the hope that we have in Jesus, making disciples. That's the command. While Jesus is gone, the command of the church is to go and make disciples. So here's a question. When was the last time you shared your faith with anybody? The hope. And I'm not saying when is the last time you invited somebody to church. When have you shared the gospel with somebody? And if you don't have a moment, there's a problem. The most important thing you have been entrusted with is the gospel. When was the last time you shared it? And bare minimum, what we all should be doing, we should all be depositing the money with the bankers. We should all at least be, at bare minimum, inviting somebody to church. Because what we do here at Grace every single week, we want to help people, whoever they are, whatever background, whatever way of life they come from, we want to help anyone and everyone discover truth found in God's Word. And we hope everyone that walks through our doors or interacts with you would decide on Jesus because you're sharing the hope that you have in Christ. But then there's a key thing. If they've just truly have decided on Jesus, if you have truly decided on Jesus, there should be evidence of it in your life. You should be demonstrating the change that God is at work in you. Your family should look different. Your work ethic should change. You should change. And the last thing we say as a church is that we would deploy for others. That we would constantly be looking to share the hope that we have as a church family, as Grace Community, that we want more to come to know the goodness of our Savior. But the greatest tragedy to all of this is wasting the opportunity. Wasting the time that God is giving us. Wasting with what God has entrusted us with. Because that isn't just an earthly loss. That can be an eternal loss. We get verse 28. So take the talent. The master saying, say, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have more than enough. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw this good for nothing servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God has blessed this guy. The master has blessed this guy with an incredible thing called life, breath. And we have incredible freedom whether we can choose to love God back or not. But this guy chose to waste his freedom, and result of that is spending eternity away from the master, away from God. Because stewardship always leads to accountability. What will you hear? Your life ends. Today, tomorrow. Or Jesus returns and you're standing before him. Will you hear, I don't know you. Depart from me. Will you hear, man, you came to faith, but you never did anything. You never shared the hope that you have. Will you hear, well done, good and faithful servant? And I was listening again to that Mark McKenzie, his story, and at the end of this testimony, he says this: at the end of my life, when Jesus calls me home, I hope that I hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Are you busy being about the kingdom, or are you busy building yours? And I sit back and I think about our church, and I think about how blessed we are, I think about how amazing we have to live in a country that we live in. But I don't want to take that for granted. That I want to be able to get together with our church family on a Sunday morning, and I want to be able to celebrate our Savior together. I want to be serious about going, let's spend time today, spending time studying the Word of God with each other. Let's have a conversation about that. But that we would also understand that in us having a relationship with Jesus, we have an incredible opportunity. That we still have time to serve, that we still have time to be generous with what God has given us, that we still have time to maybe forgive some people that we need to forgive. We have still time to share our faith in Christ. We have still have time to invest and what really matters. So the question remains, what are you doing with what is entrusted to you? If you guys would, stand with me. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. And God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for the reminders in Matthew 25 that we are all called to be ready. But until you return, Lord, that we've all been entrusted with something. Gifts and talents, but God, most importantly, that if we are a follower of you, that we've been entrusted with the gospel. And you're calling us to be faithful in sharing that with others. That we wouldn't keep it to ourselves. That we would take the message and the hope of what Christ has done for us, and we would share it with those around us in hopes that they would respond, in hopes that they would decide to put their faith in Jesus. And Lord, that maybe it's right now, it's just planting seeds. And maybe we don't even know fully the fruit that will be seen and be known. But Lord, we know that you know what's going on behind the scenes in the hearts and minds of people. And Lord, I pray that we would just be faithful to you and to your kingdom. God, thanks again for today. Thanks for this weekend of where we get to celebrate our nation. But Lord, hopefully for most of us in this room, we understand the greatest privilege is that we get to be citizens of heaven. Lord, we love you because of that, and we praise you because of that. Lord, help us to be faithful today and the rest of our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. See you guys next week. You guys are dismissed.